All right. I guess, we're at another episode of Ryan Seaman and Friends. I always start this out like this. It's been kind of an interesting journey. And, you know, if you're with us now, it means you've listened to, maybe this is the first time you've listened to this show. Maybe this is the sixth time you listen to this show, because this is my sixth episode. And I can't believe Adobe keeps having me back. You know, I keep telling them they can call other people if they want, but, you know, it seems like they just want to stick with me for a bit. But, this week I have some of my oldest, dearest friends from, I'm trying to remember when I even met these people, but, I have the band Tidal Babes with us today. Chris Qualls and Lindsay Austin. How are you guys doing?
Woo. Woo, hello. We're good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Happy to officially be one of your friends.
Yes.
This is the moment it became official.
You guys. Yeah. I mean, I've known Chris for years. I've known Lindsay for years. Lindsay, you're from Utah.
Yeah.
So we got to know each other through going to shows and
yeah.
Just being around the scene, as you
Salt
as
Lake
you would
City
say.
Scene.
The Salt Lake City scene. Yeah. And then Chris and I had a little stint for a minute. We played with Jeffree Star. So that's how we kind of met. But, I mean, we met, I guess, when I was in I Am Ghost, too.
Yeah, we met in the parking lot of Chain Reaction.
Yeah, which is a venue in Southern California where I feel like a lot of bands get their start, I guess.
Very
you could say.
Iconic, very small.
Right. Yeah, very iconic. I feel like Reggie and the Full Effect and Newfound Glory have both sang about Chain Reaction. They've had it in their lyrics and some of their songs.
Nice.
So anyway, bouncing forward. So I'm having these people on my show. They're in a really awesome band called Tidal Babes. IDK played one of our first shows with them at the Viper
yeah.
Room when we were starting out. And I just wanted to have you guys on because, you know, I love when I could show people music that maybe they haven't heard of before. And I just wanted to bring you guys up and, you know, kind of catch up and just see where you guys are at and what's going on. And, you know, how did you guys even start Tidal Babes? Like, what was the process like with your band? Because I think you guys are great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually, so I moved to LA just over 4 years ago, at which point Chris and I started he was doing songwriting. And I mean, he still is doing songwriting and producing for his day-to-day job, but he hadn't really been in a live band for a while. It had been a little bit for me too, when we were both kind of missing the kind of live rock band vibe. And so we ended up going to this show. We went and saw the Drums play, this like kind of private show at New House in LA.
Yeah. I know Drums, yeah.
Yeah. And we just were like, we just had such a good time, and we both missed playing so much that we kind of decided to start a project together again.
So we came home that night and wrote what ended up being
when was this, by the way? Like,
oh, I remember because it was leap year. So
yeah, so it was 4 years ago.
Okay.
February I think it 29th. Was in February. Yeah, February 29th.
Wow.
4 years ago.
And one of the big things that we wanted to do with that band was not overthink the whole songwriting process.
Okay.
Because when I'm doing sessions for, you know, pop songs, sync songs, pitch songs, whatever it is, we're in there with other co-writers, and the whole time we're analyzing every line, every melody, every lyric, and it kind of takes some of the fun away from it.
Okay, so real quick, not to cut you off, but so for people that don't know, behind the scenes, you are a producer, you're a collaborator, you're an engineer.
Songwriter.
Yep. All of the above. The guy behind the scenes.
Totally. With okay. Cut Craft Music Group and Concord Publishing. So yeah, my day-to-day job is basically writing songs. We have 3 to 4 new people that we're working with every week. Other artists, other songwriters, other producers, and we're just writing songs to pitch for other people. So
that's great. So that's what we would call your day job.
Yep, okay. Absolutely. I mean, the whole thing was, when you're overanalyzing it, and you're like, every single decision is based off of, hey, is the record label gonna like this? Is the A&R gonna like this? Is the, you know, is the radio host gonna like this? Then you get away from just trusting your gut, and I feel like sometimes that's when the magic really happens.
Yeah, I hate all that, trying to cater to other people. Yeah. You just write what you want to write, yeah. And you play what you want to play.
Totally.
But unfortunately, in professional songwriting, you always have to think about is if you're writing a song to pitch to a specific artist, right?
Yeah.
You have to think about what they're looking for, what the rest of their album sounds like, what their A&R is going to think, and you have to make sure that it fits their brand and it's like in line with the rest of the songs that they're doing. What we wanted to do with Tidal Babes was get back to just that organic, trust your gut type of vibe. So we kind of started the project with a little unspoken rule that we write every song in an hour.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And if it's good, awesome. If it's not, then we only wasted an hour. But
right.
We're not sitting there making, you know, overthinking every little aspect of the song. And I think because of that, the songs are very fun and it kind of shines through. I feel like that's a big part of what this band is and why the songs are so fun and easygoing. It's just, you have...
Lighthearted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a thought, you have your guts telling you something, just go with it and get it all done in an hour. And
that's awesome.
Here we are.
Okay, well, right now I actually want to play a song from you guys.
Sure.
And Chris, tell us about what we're about to play, because I'm letting you pick... everything that you want today, because this is your guys' hour. Just trying to play people new music that they may or may not have heard before, and yeah.
Okay, well, this song right here is called OMG. It is the single and the title track off of our EP that just came out this past summer. It's basically a carefree, fun song about, I don't want to say living your best life because that's kind of cliche at this point, but that's what it is
okay.
about.
All right, here it is, OMG. All right, that was Tidal Babes with OMG. I hope you enjoyed that one as much as I have. So, guys, so how did, okay, first off, Chris, I've known you forever, man. I've probably met you in like 2006.
2006, yeah.
Yeah, 2006 or whatever like that.
We went on tour in 2007.
Yeah, on tour in 2007. I was going to say, the first time I remember meeting you, so, okay, just backing up real quick. Chris and I, we played in Jeffree Star's band as hired musicians, and what a time that was, because we didn't really know each other all that well. And we ended up sharing hotel rooms together, and then
very fast friends.
Yeah, very very fast. It was kind of like, I feel like when you go on tour with somebody that you don't really know, you really figure out that person within, you know, a few days or a few weeks, and you feel like you've known them longer than maybe you've known some of your other friends.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've had friends for 20 years that I've never spent, you know, 24 consecutive hours yeah. with before. Right. And when we were on tour, it was, I think that first tour we did was 2007. It was a European tour,
mm-hmm.
and we were together for like 9 days straight,
oh, man.
Pretty much.
What a time.
And it
such
was
such a good time.
So much fun.
Oh, yeah.
I, you know, I'm so appreciative of Jeffree for taking us on that and
absolutely
introducing me to you.
Yeah, 100%.
So Jeffree at the time never drank, but on his rider, he, for some reason, decided to put a bottle of Jägermeister on his tour rider. I don't know why he picked Jägermeister. Maybe because yeah. we were in
Jägermeister
Europe.
And Red Bull.
Yeah. He hadn't heard of it before.
And we had a German tour manager, so maybe that was the reason.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know why we used to do this, but like back in the day, you and I would just kill.
Yeah, we were determined
we would kill
to finish
the bottle before even hitting the stage. Why? why would we do that? I can't do that now. I think it wasn't always before. No, I know, but by the end of the night,
we were professionals.
We were. Like, we didn't mess up any of the shows or anything, but like if I could go back and do it all over again, I wouldn't have done that. I mean, it was so much fun and so cool, but I can't do that anymore, you know?
Especially not Jaeger. Youngins back then.
We were youngins for sure. But
it led to a lot of fun
shenanigans.
Adventurous European nights, I will say that.
Oh man. Those are some really great times. I just, you know, it's so crazy though how you hear about bands doing this all the time, but I mean, like, it takes a toll, you know, down the road.
Oh yeah,
you just keep doing it. But I think that's honestly the only band I ever did that with. But it was like it was almost like
when
encouraged.
You're near, like your young 20s. You
yeah,
know?
It was a dance band. We're playing the same beats over and over. You know, it was almost like it was almost like living in the movie Groundhog Day. Or it was going to be the same night every night, and you're like, okay, well, how do we vary it up to make it different?
I feel like a lot of it was you both not wearing shirts, so you guys kind of had to get into it.
Yeah, 12 years ago, I had a much better body, but you know, I'm slowly working on getting back. You know, this is also really crazy too, but I've lost 18 pounds in 4 months.
That's really good.
I don't know if you guys can tell. You guys see me kind of frequently, but when I go look like old pictures of myself, even from like 6 months ago, I'm just like, wow.
Oh, you look great. That's awesome.
So yeah. It's crazy as hell. But yeah, so I mean, I've known Chris forever. We've been, you know, we've toured a bunch together. We've collaborated on songs together.
We were in Electric Valentine together.
I played Electric Valentine with Chris, playing all over the place, using their dog to get kids to buy our merch so that we can make it to the next city.
Which is actually funny because we still use the same dog in our music videos for Tidal Babes.
Oh, that's amazing. I love Melody.
Melody,
she's so sweet.
She's famous.
Yeah, she is.
She's a legend.
Yeah, my earliest memories of Mel is so she just grew up touring too.
Yeah.
Like in the van. And
no,
she was
seriously,
such a great dog.
Day one, she got picked up in a van and headed out to South by Southwest.
Yeah.
That was her life. That's why she's so good around people, is she is used to seeing new people every day.
Being in different environments.
Yeah. She's such a ham. She just loves attention, and it's all because of that.
That's a whole nother topic. But
do a whole thing on Mel.
Yeah.
Oh, you should have her as podcast number 7.
So I guess after Electric Valentine kind of took a stop, I went on to this band, The Bigger Lights. And then, Chris, you kept doing production. You kept going with Electric Valentine for a while.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
That's when I met Lindsay.
That's when you met Lindsay. So I want to hear more about, like, how you guys met and decided to just put this all together, besides, you know, going to the show that you guys saw the drums at and all that stuff. But, I mean, like, how long were you guys friends before even collaborating and
we have a history.
We have a history. we met in Salt Lake City, though.
After you stopped playing in Electric Valentine, you recommended what ended up becoming one of my really good friends, Liam.
Yeah,
to
Liam's
replace
great.
You.
He's great.
So Liam O'Neill replaced you on drums. We were playing Salt Lake City.
He's also a drummer for the Brobecks for like 2 seconds.
I knew that. Well, I met Liam. Kind of the reason Chris and I met is because of Liam. I know Liam from Love You Long Time.
That's right.
Yeah,
we played shows with them too. Brobecks did, yeah.
Yeah, so my friend Kat and I used to go to Love You Long Time shows all the time, and we ended up getting really close with them, and especially Liam. So anytime they were playing shows or were in town, Liam would hit us up, and we would go hang out. And then when Liam was playing with Electric Valentine, he hit us up and was like, "Hey, I'm going to be in town. Yeah. You guys should come check us out." It was at Club Edge in Salt Lake before that place closed down.
Oh, man.
Shout out to Jeff Hacker.
Yeah, shout out Jeff Hacker. And so we went out, and that was when I first met Chris. We first bonded that night over our love for the Spill Canvas, which he's actually wearing a Spill Canvas shirt right now. So there you go.
I just saw them not too long ago. Actually, yeah. I was in Salt Lake City not that long ago, and I saw Spill Canvas play at Kilby Court.
At Kilby?
With Juliana Theory.
Oh, wow. We saw the same tour.
Yeah, we saw it.
That's right. You guys are at the Roxy.
At the Roxy.
Yeah, I had to go to Salt Lake to go rehearse or something. That's why I was at that show. Yeah, anyway, sorry.
No, yeah. I love that they played Kilby. I love that spot. Yeah, so that's how Chris and I first met. So I guess now that was probably like almost 10 years ago or something like that. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first night we met was actually
February 2010.
Yeah, so 10 years. That's crazy. Yeah, so the first night we met, we hung out after the show for a little bit, and then my friend and I had to leave to go basically dig her boyfriend out of a snowbank because his car was stuck. And so our first hangout was cut short, but then a few months later, they came back into town, and we ended up hanging out all night, playing songs on guitar for each other until like 6 a.m.
Wow. Till van call. Yeah.
Till van call.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was the beginning of it all.
Yeah.
And then every time they came into town, we would go see them and hang out, or anytime I was out in LA.
So what bands do you guys both like that like kind of put you together? So you said Spill Canvas was like kind of the
catalyst,
or was it like the
It was kind of the first. I mean, the Spill Canvas is such an amazing band, and like if they mean a lot to you, you have that bond with someone else who has that same feeling, you know?
Sure.
So, I mean, we have so many commonalities music-wise. It's hard
Taking
to say.
Taking Back Sunday. We played Without the E that night.
Yeah, we did. We played a lot of covers on guitar that night. Definitely but. Taking Back Sunday. The Used. I mean, I've always loved The Used, being a Utah girl for sure.
Sure.
But yeah, that night I was like, oh my God, this girl's the one. So from that point on, I made sure that every single run that we did was routed through
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City. I was constantly just flying out to do DJ gigs out there. Right, Any excuse I could find to get out there, I was taking.
Fun story. One time, a couple of my friends and I were going on a trip to San Francisco, and Chris had actually hit me up and was like, "Hey, I'm having this party in LA this weekend. You should come. It's Saved by the Bell themed. It's going to be awesome." And I was like, "Oh, that sounds amazing, but I'll be in San Francisco." And he was like, "Oh, that's crazy, because actually right after my party, I'm going to be in San Francisco as well. We should hang out." Turns out he told me way later that he had no plans to be there, but he just wanted to hang out.
Yeah, and for some of those people that are listening that might not know what Saved by the Bell is, I know, hard to believe. It was like a TV show in the 90s, which was like, it was one of my favorite shows growing
up. So good, but. So good. Yeah, so he came to San Francisco to hang out with my friends and I, and was like calling up his friend like, "Hey, I need to stay with you tonight."
I got off the phone with her, bought a bus ticket. It was for 7 a.m. the next morning after this just full-on Saved by the Bell rager that we had. So I didn't even really sleep, was just hungover on a Greyhound on the way up to San Francisco, and was like, "Hey, cool, I was planning to be here naturally, don't mind me."
It was awesome.
This was all part of my plans.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It was really fun.
So then we just kept hanging out any opportunity we could get, and eventually, I wore her down because I would constantly try to get her to move out to LA.
I mean,
repetition then, right? That's all?
Okay. Resistance. I mean, there was something there. We all knew it.
But eventually, she was on tour and stayed out here for, I think they had 4 days off between their LA and San Francisco date. And in that time, I was like, "Look at all the awesome things that you could be doing for your career."
Just trying to entice her to move out? Or?
Oh, 100%.
Or just be, yeah, okay.
Hey, wow. If you were in LA, every day we could be doing this. Every day you could be working in the music industry in a big pond instead of Salt Lake City. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Salt Lake City and the scene out there.
Salt Lake is so awesome, man. I feel like everybody that's from there is like for real. It's all community driven.
Oh yeah.
It's one of my favorite places ever.
Yeah, and I feel like at least when I was going to shows there, it was all super magical. It's where I met most of my friends, to be honest. Like, high school wasn't anything to write about, but you know, just going to shows, that's literally how everything's happened for me.
Well, the music scene is so tight there. It's such a community.
Yeah, everybody supported each other.
Yeah, totally. So.
But big picture, you have to be in LA or New York or Nashville. You don't have to, but it helps.
Well, I
tremendously.
Mean, when I moved here, I immediately noticed the difference in just people being serious about it. And I think in Utah, maybe people don't consider it much of an option as far as being a professional doing music.
I mean, I kind of like that part about Utah too, because it means art means something. It's not like they're chasing to be a rock star. They're doing the art because they love to do it. And if you can translate that out here, that would be like incredible.
Oh my God. You know? Yeah. It's so authentic. And I really love that about it. But yeah, if you are trying to do it professionally, it is a little bit hard because, you know,
there's only so many places you can play in Salt Lake. There's only so many hangouts that you can do. I mean, in LA, man, you can, there's so many different spots. You can live like four lives out here if you wanted to. It's insane.
Well, it's crazy too. Like, even
it's kind of scary.
You know? It is. Every single neighborhood in LA is like a different city almost. Mm-hmm. So even if you have lived in LA 20 years and you've lived in like five different neighborhoods, it's almost like you've lived in five different cities in a way, you know? Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
That's kind of why Salt Lake City is one of the best places to play on tour, though. It's because they appreciate you out there, because they don't have that oversaturation LA does. 100%.
Like, people would just appreciate the shit out of musicians. And
you guys know how it is. Like, you play a show, and okay, let me explain this to everyone listening that doesn't live in LA. But you'll play a show in LA, and everyone will be standing there with their arms crossed, and if you're lucky, you might get a head nod or a foot tap.
Right.
And that's it. And if you get that foot tap, that means they were super into you.
And then they come up to you after, and they're like, "Oh, that was amazing." And I'm like, "Really? Because like, you I didn't tell. Look like it."
Yeah. Right.
But then you go to Salt Lake City or like any of these amazing B and C markets where they really appreciate you taking the time to come out there. and kids are dancing and having fun the entire time. And I feel like it's a totally different energy than LA.
Yeah.
I love LA, live here, but it's terrible city to play in.
I think being from Salt Lake City, I also have this angle where when I did live there and people were, different bands were touring, I almost felt this obligation to make people know that we were normal and like fun. And so anytime I would go to shows where bands were like touring, I was almost even more inclined to be like into it and like appreciative, you know, just because people
you want the bands to come back. You want,
yeah, exactly. And I mean, a lot of people think Salt Lake is just a bunch of weird Mormons, cause that's not true.
Yeah, in LA, I feel like there's something to do every single night of the week.
Oh, almost too many things.
200 things to do every single night of the week. Yeah.
In Salt Lake, I feel like it's like control. I've said this before, but like it's controlled fun. It's like, oh, okay, nothing's happening until Tuesday. So I'm going to just like focus on what I need to focus on. And then Tuesday is going to be my big night out with all my friends. And we're going to have the best time ever.
Totally.
You know? But here you can do that every night. And so I think people get jaded or they get, you know, they just get too used to it. Where in Salt Lake, it's just, it kind of happens every once in a while. It makes it more special.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong. You tell me, people. Tell me what you think.
You tell me, Utah people.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think from here, we could play another song. What do you want to play next, guys?
So Lindsay and I both have solo stuff that we do.
Solo stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Solo projects.
Aside from Tidal Babes. So...
So we're introducing another project in the mix.
We are.
Okay.
Yeah, we're taking full advantage of this platform that you're providing. So remember how when you and I were in a band together, it was very electronic pop.
It was.
For those of you that don't know, Ryan and I played in a band with our friend Lauren called Electric Valentine. It was cool. It was very MySpace-y. Very electronic pop where I was playing like four synthesizers on stage. I came from a punk rock background, but for some reason, I just decided to go full dance pop. And a lot of the stuff that I do now, because pop music is very synth heavy and electro dance heavy, I'm working in that genre a lot. But I didn't have a project in that type of style since Electric Valentine. So one of the things that I've been doing recently is trying to provide a little bit of crossover between my two loves, which is this dance pop stuff and all of the like punk rock and emo and pop rock that I grew up on.
Sure.
So recently I decided late night, 4 a.m. when I'm home and just want to do something fun, I've been making these versions of old classic songs that are updated for the year 2020.
So are they covers or is it?
Yeah, they're cover songs, not remixes, but actual covers where one of the things I wanted to do was gender flip some of these old songs. Because say you take a Taking Back Sunday song.
Sure.
You have a dude sing it. He's always going to be compared to Adam, and you're never going to win that battle.
Okay.
You know, because it's so iconic and everyone knows that voice and loves that voice. So I've been gender flipping all of these songs. So what I'm going to play you right now is a version of Helena by My Chemical Romance.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
That I had my friend Abby sing on, and she's awesome, has a great, great sultry voice. And we did this version together about a month ago. It's on Spotify now.
Okay.
But the project is called Nightshade.
And how do people find it?
You can find it on Instagram, Nightshade Music. And the I is actually an X because it's 2020.
So
NX.
NXGHT.
Okay.
Yeah. And the singer is Abby So-and-so. And this song is one that you might have heard a time or two in your life.
Yeah.
Called Helena.
Okay. So Helena by Nightshade covering My Chem. Here it is. Oh, man. That was so fun, guys. That story.
Yep.
I've done that on every single episode now where I just laugh and come back in and no one ever will know what the fuck we're talking about. Ever. It's great.
But seriously, that was the craziest story I've ever heard in my entire life.
And you'll never know it.
Like, life-changing.
Yep. All right, good. Well, hey, cool. Just keep that story between us. So anyway, back to what really matters. So what gave you the idea that, you know, for Nightshade, like what was the inspiration behind, because you guys are already busy enough as it is, you know?
So with Nightshade, what I wanted to do, and I think this actually comes from one of the nights we were hanging out at Emo Night.
Right.
We were there and those songs are just so fucking good and so classic. I thought it would be interesting to hear them in a different light.
Sure.
I had done a song for her birthday where I made a like a super disco house version of...
For Lindsay's birthday, yeah.
Yeah, of Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. And I was like, oh, this is really fun giving old songs like a new dancey modern flip. And I came home from emo night where we were hanging out and I was like, well, what if I did that with some of those old songs that I like grew
You're
up
kidding.
Loving?
Dude, I had no idea. I swear to God. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. So yeah. I started with the Dashboard Confessional song.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I go unnoticed and I had my friend Bo sing it. And it ended up being such an interesting idea that I just kept making more and they kept coming out really good. I did one for Alkaline Trio, My Chemical Romance, and I have a bunch on deck for like Fall Out Boy, basically all the classics. You know?
So you're still creating this. You don't have like a full EP or album
I've been
yet.
Putting out one per month and they've been doing really well. It's an interesting thing that people, whether they love it or they hate it, they're talking about it just because the idea is, you know, something that no one else is doing right now. I went from putting my first song out to now, I think I was getting like 20,000 monthly listeners in like two songs, which is really good.
That is really good. It's more like you're tapping into something that's familiar.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
People, you know, people do have ways of finding things on their own, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's
the songs
great.
Are already so good, I think is probably what you mean, right?
Well, the whole idea behind it, I guess, was like even sad kids want to dance sometimes, you know? And like they're not going to go out and go to these like fist pumping super EDM like Avalon.
Sure. Avalon's a club in LA that caters to that sort of vibe. For anybody that doesn't know what that is.
I forget. We're going global.
We're going global, baby. That's it. Yeah.
But like, you know, like those kids that go to emo night, right?
Sure.
A lot of them like to dance and like upbeat poppy music, but what are they gonna I was trying to fulfill a hole in the market, to be honest with you.
Sure.
And it's been going really well so far.
That's great to hear. And, you know, thanks for sharing all that as well. And if anybody wants to go hear more Nightshade, just it's all things NXGHT Shade on Instagram, on Spotify, all that stuff, right?
Yep.
All
totally.
Stuff. Great. Yeah.
And I mean, because I do songwriting as well as a profession, geez.
Right.
I don't want it to be all just covers, so I'm kind of like using the covers to introduce people to the brand, but then sprinkling in originals too.
Yeah, the originals are really good.
Yeah, like I so far, well, actually, Lindsay and I just put one out together because she has her solo project as well.
Right.
And
what's that called, Lindsay?
It's just my name, Lindsay Austin.
It's Lindsay Austin. Yep. Okay. So for anybody that's I'm trying to get this all out there.
All of the information. Yeah. Yeah, so we just released a song last month together called Closer to Sleep. We actually wrote this.
I thought it was really good. I remember promoting it on my socials, just saying, hey, go check this out.
You did. Thank you for that.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, we actually, it's funny because before Tidal Babes, so basically right when I moved here and a little bit before that, we were kind of, Chris and I were working on kind of an indie pop project. And then we fell upon Tidal Babes and
just
kind of ran
with
that because it was so fun and just kind of made sense. So,
I think it's a really fun project. And I aesthetically what you guys are doing too.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's very California.
It's very fun.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that was our whole plan. And so we've just kind of, you know,
right.
We've been kind of going for it. But so before all of that, we were doing our indie pop project and we wrote Closer to Sleep before Tidal Babes even happened, and we
wrote it before you even lived here.
Yeah, like right before, a few months before.
Would
I
you guys like
here.
Write? So okay, so before you moved here, would you guys like write together over the internet, or was it like over the
Closer
phone,
to was Sleep
it?
Was actually the first song that we ever wrote together,
just in person.
Yeah, yeah. It was when I was on tour with my old band. We were out here for a few days, and we had some.
What,
free time.
What band was that called?
It's called Big Wild Wings. It was my Salt Lake City kind of like shoegaze alternative band, which was really fun.
I hope you guys are all taking notes because I'm definitely gonna be checking all this out as well after this.
Thanks. Yeah. So we had some free time when we were out here traveling, and Chris was like, "Oh, our studio's open, we should go just write a song tonight." And so he and his writing partner Eric and I wrote the song together, and we just kind of sat on it for a while. And now that we've had some time after developing Tidal Babes, I've been doing more indie pop on my own, more production, and you know, kind of like his late night project is Nightshade, mine is my solo project. So I'll get home and I have like all these ideas, and I'll just kind of sit down, and what comes out is more indie than
Yeah, I think it's cool when you can pop. Do an array of different things. You don't have to limit yourself to one specific project.
Yeah.
You know? I love that. Totally. I mean, in Salt Lake too, I mean, you know this, just growing up, it's like I feel like all the really good bands, musicians all weren't just in one band. It was kind of like a web of different people in different bands.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Know? Especially in like the early 2000s for me, you know. Like you had like this, do you remember that band, the New Transit Direction?
Totally. Love them? So them, like yeah.
You know, one of the guys in that band was in this band called The Kill, and then one of those dudes was in like Form of Rocket or something, and then one of those guys is in, you know, it was a web. I'm just saying this.
Yeah,
is
like
an example,
one of them I think went on to like Rancid or something. I don't even know.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like something. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You don't need to just have one project.
No, but I think it's really cool when you can just collaborate with your friends and see what comes out.
Totally.
And so I think that's really awesome.
Well, in my day job, we're working
constantly
with and in such different genres. Like honestly, last week went from country one day to rap the next like full on like
who are some artists that you've co-written for that that people might have heard of, you know, just off the bat?
The big one that we had recently, and I'm really excited about this, is so we had this Irish dude, Mick Flannery, that our day-to-day guy at our publishing company was like, hey, Mick is going to be in town. He's a great artist from Ireland. He's got half of a day on a layover on his flight, and he wanted to get in with someone, and I feel like you guys would be the perfect fit. So Mick came over.
Mick Flannery, okay.
Mick Flannery, and he's just this like super manly, gruff, Irish singer-songwriter.
Okay.
Just like the type of dude that like you picture like chopping down trees in the woods, you know?
So this is like the latest one that you've
this
had.
Is just this one did really well,
okay.
So I want to tell this story. And we wrote a song with him, and it ended up just in like 6 hours we just had one of those songs where like you know immediately like this is going to do something great. So then every time he would come back, whenever he had a couple hours in LA on a layover from flights, anytime he was on tour, we would work, and we ended up getting two singles on his album that came out in July, and the album went to number one in Ireland.
Wow.
So
that's incredible.
Yeah,
it's
and
such
it's
a good album.
It's so good, and he has such a great voice and is such just like a good person. But it's
what's the song called? So if people want to check it out,
we did one on his album called Fool,
okay.
And that got picked up by like pretty much every indie Spotify playlist.
Okay,
so that just like started going, and then we did one called Come Find Me.
Okay,
and then he actually put our original version out as a remix.
Okay,
and then that started getting picked up on radio out there. And then we had a bunch of Irish artists coming to us and asking us to remix their songs. And then so we did one recently for this girl named Wallace Bird, where her manager reached out and was like, hey, I love what you did for Mick. Can you do that kind of spin, radio spin, on one of these songs? So we picked one of the songs on her album. And now that's getting played on radio out there and is like on all the major Spotify indie playlists now. So for some reason, we're just smashing it in Ireland right now.
It's awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so sick. I'm checking all this out when I get home.
He's so
this
good, yeah.
I don't know. It's always different. That's the thing that I love. Kind of like what you guys were just talking about. Having like different styles keeps it from being boring. And we're working with just super ridiculous stuff. We did an album recently for Brooke White from American Idol that is full country pop.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're just all over the map.
And Chris and I actually play in Brooke White's backing band when she plays live. So I do background vocals and he plays bass. So we wear cowboy hats and do the whole thing.
I can't wait to see all of this.
It's really fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys got to show me this afterwards. You know?
It's great.
Of all this stuff. I can't even wait. You know what sucks about these shows is I feel like right when we're breaking the surface, it's almost like we're out of time. It sucks.
But it does suck.
I'm glad we got to play some songs from you guys, you know? So we got Nightshade and Tidal Babies. Is there anything else that you guys want to play before we have to cut this? Before this the show's over for another episode? I literally feel like we just started talking.
I know.
Maybe at the end we play that Closer to Sleep song that we were just talking about.
Yeah, okay, my solo song with Nightshade. Yeah.
Okay, great.
I think we have like 5 minutes, though. Maybe we can get into...
Okay, this is what I want to do.
Funniest stories.
Favorite memories from everybody. Okay, I'll go dead last.
I only know he's going to do this because whenever we're out partying, he always brings up, hey, what was your favorite story of you and I? And he always tells the exact same story to everyone that we hang out with.
Oh, but it was such an epic night, though.
So I can pretty much guarantee I know what
guys,
he's gonna
go. You guys go first, and I'll go last. We'll keep it pretty short.
I think one of my favorite nights with you, Ryan, you were in town for whatever reason during the same time that Electric Valentine had a show. So I went out to the show. You were there, and then somehow I got roped into giving like everybody rides home. And you were like, hey.
Oh, this was in Utah.
It was in Utah. Yeah.
This back is when for Brills.
I'm scared.
No, this was, I think this was a different night, actually. Not the Brills night, but the first night. The
Brills night was also epic. The
Brills
for
night
anybody
was
that's
very
wondering.
Epic, yes.
That was in Park City.
Yeah, it was in Park City.
That was my favorite memory of you.
That was.
When all three of us got to hang out.
Yeah,
man,
that was
wild.
Super fun. Yeah. But you were like, give my friends and I a ride to this house. It's like 5 minutes away, and I was like, okay, cool, I can do that. And it was like so far away.
Oh no.
And I got there and I was like, dude, and the whole time your friend Forrest
is a different
is a
night
freaking
is, this,
legend.
Is this the Brills night?
No, it's a different night.
Oh no. Yeah. Forrest is a legend, everybody.
Forrest is a legend. So he was like my co-pilot.
Our friend Forrest used to play guitar for George Clinton.
Now
he's like an IT guy living in Austin, Texas, and he'll play like up and down the bars like off 6th Street,
man,
which I think
I've
is crazy.
Wondered what happened to him.
He is a character
in the house. So funny.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
That whole drive, like he was my co-pilot and he was just trying to convince me that I should marry him, and I was like,
Forrest?
Cool.
I don't remember that at all. He's definitely, you cannot
he's
forget
hilarious.
This guy
I
at
love
all.
Him.
Forrest
yeah.
is great.
He's great, yeah. So that Solid and human. Brill's night, both, yeah. Good memories.
Forrest
sure.
was at the Brills night too.
He was, yeah. He just ends up everywhere. I love it.
So good.
Love it.
Wow, man. Holy crap. All right. This is my favorite memory, and then we can go and continue and listen to Lindsay's project, her
Thank
solo
you.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But my favorite memory with Lindsay would have been in Park City when we all went to go see our friend
Brills.
Yeah, Brills.
Sammy.
Yeah, I went to go see Sammy, which is really crazy because, you know, we've known Sammy and Sarah like forever, and Sarah is also like a legend, you know, Sarah Hudson. She's written songs for Katy Perry. She's a showman. She's great. But it was really awesome being in Park City because like not a lot of like events happen up there, shows, but when they do, they go off.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
There's only been a handful of times where that's happened, and that was one of those times.
Yeah, it was Star Bar.
Or something. Yeah, we were all like side stage just getting free drinks and food and mucking it up.
Fireball. Remember Fireball. That was right when Fireball came out.
Yeah.
And they were promoting the shit out of it.
Oh yep. my God.
Fireball has gotten us all into a lot of trouble.
You're like, oh, this tastes really good. And they're like, oh, this hangover is the worst hangover I've ever had.
That sugar.
Yeah. I've slowed it down on the drinking though. I mean, I'm just getting older and it's just getting harder to be honest. So I've kind of stopped. And it's not, you know, I've said this in other programs. I feel like sometimes I have a fun problem. You know, it's not so much like a drinking problem. It's just a fun problem. I love having fun.
I don't want to turn down the fun.
You don't want to turn down the fun.
You might as well face it. You're addicted to fun.
I'm addicted to fun.
You might as well.
I'm getting older. It's getting easier to, you know, not do that. But I just like to chill out more these days. I really do. But leaving this show, I'm going to say my other favorite memory with Chris. We were on tour together in Miami. It was really special though, because I hadn't really been to Miami like a whole bunch, but we played the shows. It was good. We went into this like pizza shop, and there was a CD player, you know, just playing whatever. And there was like no one in there. It was just us. And Chris had this like book bag or something with them, and he had this Electric Valentine CD. and he tried to like put it in the CD player. He's like, you know, it's just us in here. We're paying customers. I'm going to put like our band CD on and we're just going to play it. And so turns it on and the restaurant owner gets so pissed off, right? Gets so mad. And he's like, hey, turn that off or something crazy like that. And we're like, why? Like, it's just us. And he's like, I don't want to hear it. Blah, blah. I had whatever, you know, it was like J-Lo or something playing in the background. And then he asks us kindly to leave. And we're like, okay, we're going to leave. And then we come back in and Chris puts it back on and we just like run off or something. I think we were in like our like early 20s, mid 20s, something like
I
that.
Love that.
So stupid. Yeah. So long ago. But and then from there it was one of the first times I had like set foot in the Atlantic Ocean, mm-hmm. and the water was so warm and clear and you could see your feet like in the middle of the night. It was crazy. Well, it was really fun.
Never been there.
Yeah, we jumped in our underwear at like 4 a.m.
Yeah, it was
awesome. And
it was
warm.
Yep.
And it was weird if it was in California, it would have been way too cold to get.
Yep. They were like, oh my God. Yeah, and like, I don't know, bus call was at like probably like 5 or 6.
I feel like it was like March or something where it's like.
Yeah, March or May.
Should not have been warm water.
Oh, on that same tour, I remember a buddy of mine, Ryan Daly, was playing guitar for Hello Goodbye. And our show ended super early in Orlando. And so we got to go see Hello Goodbye open up for Rihanna, and it was like one of those like Universal Studios. It was like the high schools were getting let out. It was like graduation night, right? And that was also wild. We got to go on like all the rides ahead of everybody else just because we were the guests hanging out.
That's bro, you're so forgetting cool. The best part of that night. We got to meet Rihanna.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
That was okay.
No, I know, but I mean, like, I guess it didn't really happen that. Like, it was just such a, you know, quick like, hey, how's it going? And then we just took off and did our thing. So how do we go from talking about all that now to ending the show? This is insane.
How do we end right now? That's too rough.
Such a bummer.
Well. Yeah. We'll have to have you guys on at some point. Yeah, that's what definitely. I was going to say. Season 3 will come back.
Yeah. Season 3?
Yeah, okay, season 3, yeah. Right.
All good things come in season 3.
We'll be sure to come up with some new good stories in that time.
Oh, yeah. We'll make new stories.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, hey, thank you guys so much again for being on.
Thank you for having us.
You guys could have gone on anyone else's show. You guys could have stayed at home.
The only show we want to be on.
Oh, you guys are so sweet. But anyway, hopefully we get to hang out some more. And okay, here's a song from Lindsay Austin. What's the song called? Tell us more about the song real quick.
So it's called Closer to Sleep. It's kind of like a sexy indie pop song. Yeah.
A sexy indie pop song.
Kind of chill, kind of dancey a little bit. Yeah.
All right. And here it is. We're going to take it away. And thanks again, guys, for real. So Tidal Babes, check them out on all things Tidal Babes. Instagram, Twitter,
everywhere.
Spotify,
yeah.
Facebook, all that stuff. Tidal Babes. All right. Well, thank you guys so much.
Yay. Thank you.
See you guys next time.